Hi, this is Jamie Coghill from the Jimmy C, and I'd like to invite you to join me and my psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on And This One's Introduced By on Community Radio Station 3CR.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and This One's Introduced By is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and This One's Introduced By... Power pop is a high-energy sub-genre of pop rock known for blending classic rock instrumentation, guitar, bass, drums, and occasional keyboards with infectious pop melodies and strong vocal hooks. Characterized by punchy guitar riffs and dynamic lead vocals, it delivers a bright, upbeat sound with rock and roll attitude. Notable artists include The Flaming Groovies, Cheap Trick, The Knack, Big Star, Sonny Boys, The Cars, Paul Collins, Todd Rundgren, Nick Lowe, Hoodoo Gurus, and the Raspberries. One artist strongly influenced by the genre is Jamie Coghill, a dedicated fan and practitioner of power pop. Better known as the Jimmy C, Jamie operates as a one-man studio band, handling nearly all the instruments himself with only occasional guest musicians. He also serves as his own producer, engineer, and graphic designer, embodying the modern DIY musician. Yet Jamie elevates this approach with exceptional attention to detail and creativity. Since 2005, the 47-year-old Melbourne-based multi-instrumentalist, husband and father, has recorded 9 albums, 4 soundtracks for films and TV, and a number of singles and EPs under the Jimmy C name. Beyond his solo work, he plays drums and sings with garage rock outfit Lava Fangs, who recently released their acclaimed second album, Sub Aureum. He's also been a member of bands such as Luxedo, Fez Perez, and the Devil Rock 4. Though prolific, Jamie has long flown under the radar. The Jimmy C returns with Refreshing, a new album out on Cheer Squad Records and Tapes. The 14-track release revisits songs from Jamie's formative years, 2004 to 2009, re-recorded with over a decade of added experience, skill and freedom, free from the limitations of 4-track cassette tapes and primitive mid-2000s recording software. Jamie Coghill joins Dr. Gonzo to present Refreshing by the Jimmy C on And This One's Introduced By on Community Radio 3CR.
Thanks, Dr. Gonzo. Hello, everybody. I am Jamie Coghill, a multi-instrumentalist drummer-songwriter from Melbourne, and I've been making music as the Jimmy C since 2005. My new album is called Refreshing, and it was recorded at home in the second half of last year. I sing and perform all the instruments myself and handle all of the recording and production duties. A solitary pursuit, but I've been in several bands and I find it liberating to not have to make creative decisions by committee. I still perform publicly as a quarter of the band Lava Fangs. Refreshing is a sort of retrospective album, which is an absurd concept for a practically unknown artist, featuring new recordings and arrangements of songs I originally wrote and recorded on lo-fi 4-track cassette between 2005 and 2009. I call these early efforts my practice albums, with my catalogue officially beginning around 2009 with the album Glamour and Fame. Even though the songs on Refreshing were written over 15 years ago, most people are only hearing them for the first time now, refreshed with these brand new recordings. I've been playing drums since I was 12 and performing live in bands since 1994. My solo career as the Jimmy C spans 20 years and 14 full-length releases, but since the mid-2010s I've chosen to live a sort of normal life and not pursue the sacrifices required to get famous. I tried that for many years, playing drums in several bands who almost got noticed, and I managed to move away from the egotistical rock and roll life and hone a comfortable and quietly sustainable creative existence on my own terms. Thank you, Dr. Gonzo, for this rare opportunity to talk about my music. The following track descriptions contain retroactively intellectualized explanations of my creative process, which I usually prefer to keep instinctive and organic without preconceived notions. I'm a drummer, after all. And the worst thing you can do as a drummer is to think about what you're doing. I like to continue that philosophy into creating music and allow myself to be pleasantly surprised when something turns out pretty good. Now, on to the music. Track one on Refreshing is called The Backroads to Ruin. It's a nod to my childhood hometown of Yackandandah in Victoria's northeast. At the time, Yack, as the locals call it, was a tiny little picturesque slice of white bigotry and closed-mindedness. We had one Asian family, one Indigenous family, one Muslim family, and one gay couple, all of whom were whispered about from behind accusingly Christian stares. Of course, the inbred hillbillies and evangelicals who behaved in genuinely concerning ways were wholeheartedly accepted by the community by virtue of their whiteness. There were a few suicides that I remember hearing about, and that is the grim theme of The Backroads to Ruin. Musically, I think it's a pretty hopeful and uplifting driving rock song, but lyrically, it's describing pure childhood trauma. I originally wrote and recorded this song in 2009, which was also the year I became a father, and I dare say that impending fatherhood had put me in a nostalgic mindset, ruminating on my child's future and my own past. The Backroads to Ruin ends with a nod to a fantastic song from Sesame Street, which was a huge and important part of my early childhood, from a time when music on kids' TV was allowed to be interesting and complicated and not insultingly simplified. It's one of my favourite songs from the early days of the Jimmy C, but I don't like the drum sounds on the original recording, and so I've refreshed it, and all the other songs on Refreshing with new recordings in an attempt to do these old songs properly, or at least as well as I can, with a decade or two more know-how and experience. Track 2, I Want Her, is originally from a self-titled collection of rough 4-track cassette recordings of quirky little garage songs that I made back in 2006-ish. I think I was listening to The Hives a lot back then, and the result was a minute and a half of tight up-tempo rock. I like the vocal harmony too, giving it a bit of a power pop feel, but that was way before I knew what power pop was, years before I'd heard Emmett Rhodes or Todd Rundgren's fully solo efforts. It sounds a little like Red Cross maybe, but I hadn't heard of them yet either. It's very likely about the time I first started dating my future wife, but there's only a few lines of lyrics in the whole song. It's also probably just riffing on cliched teenage bravado, even though I was in my late 20s. I'm a late bloomer. Track 3 is Don't Cry, another song from 2009. Once again, I wanted to re-record this, mainly because I wrecked the drum sounds on the original recording, but the vocals and energy were pretty good. This new version gives the song a fresh, new, polished sound, and utilises the benefit of a further 15 years of singing and guitaring, and generally learning to improve my homemade recordings. I remember this one being inspired by my deep immersion into the music of the Zombies. My garagey power pop harmonies and primitive chord structure are laughable compared to the melodic genius of Rod Argent. But as naive as I was back then, I was at least aiming for a sound that was beyond my limits, something I've always strived for. There are too many songs called Don't Cry, and most, if not all, are terrible. On the surface, the lyrics suggest that classic 1960s boy-girl dependency, but I think the deeper meaning to be more along the lines of reassuring your pet that you'll be coming home again at the end of the day. These aren't complex emotions we're dealing with, and there's only so much you can say in 1 minute of actual song, plus 40 seconds of rave-up outro.
Don't cry, there's no reason. Tears.
This is the Jimmy C, and I have taken over Dr. Gonzo's show, and this one's introduced by on 3CR, to talk about my album, Refreshing. It's all about me. Me, me, me. Tracks 4 and 5 go together, a slow atmospheric intro and a spaghetti western instrumental. Sonora Desert Breeze is followed by Sonora Desert Theme. I visited Tucson, Arizona in 2007, and it's one of the most amazing places I've ever been. I'm a huge fan of spaghetti westerns and the music of Ennio Morricone, Franco Michelizzi, Alessandro Alessandroni and the like. And although many of those films were shot in Spain and Algeria, a long way away from the American West, that music became the sound of American cowboys in the desert, and that desert was a facsimile of Arizona. The Sonora Desert, with its iconic saguaro cacti, is the unmistakable backdrop of the real American West, its classic widescreen big sky country. Calexico hail from Tucson, and their music perfectly conjures the barren landscape of southern Arizona, a brilliant and strong influence on this song. Sonora Desert Theme is a slice of cowboy twang that combines classic guitar instrumentals with the influence of spaghetti westerns. It's a nice tune, and I'm fairly proud of it. It's one of the more clever acoustic guitar parts I've ever written too, remembering that I am first and foremost a drummer. I spell it drum, D-R-U-M-B. It conjures a scene of a weary gunslinger riding across the uneven terrain of the desert. Things get a little uneasy in the middle section with some slide guitar and spooky glockenspiel, as though they're navigating an unsteady descent into a valley, and from there it evens out and off they ride into the sunset. Yeehaw! Hi, I'm the Jimmy C, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist introduces the tracks from their album, here on 3CR. Track 6 is a silly little rock song called Tie One On. It's extra silly, considering I don't drink alcohol, and unless I'm mistaken, to tie one on is to indulge in a big night on the piss. But for me, this song is more about the feeling of getting home from a long tour and going out for fun with your special someone, also inspired by the early stages of my relationship. I love it when a song can get it all done in under 2 minutes. The Hives and the Super Suckers, and the Ramones obviously, are great at that, and they are likely a big influence here. This one was originally recorded on 4-track cassette, so it was nice to be able to expand it from what was essentially a rough sketch into a fully realised song. Track 7 is Just a Fool. I'm really proud of this one, although I think I may have borrowed part of the verse melody from Neil Innes. Don't look for a song called 9 to 5 Pollution Blues from the only album by a band called The World. Here's another retro rocker drawing from my obsession with late 60s British pop, psych and freak beat. I think 1968 was probably the best year for music ever, and I like to think that this one could fit in that time and place. Maybe The Pretty Things or Tomorrow or The Attack could have recorded it, The Creation definitely, but there's also a fatness and 70s feel to the sound, so who knows. It's all subjective, and we shouldn't attempt to overanalyze art, should we? I like the subject of the fool. The fool is you, the fool is me, we all do stupid things in our lives, and it's good to acknowledge the fact by writing a song about it sometimes. There's a lyric about taking refuge in a dead horse's carcass, which reminds me of The Empire Strikes Back. I've always liked the cold, uneasy vocal harmony I sang on it. There's something spooky about it. I'm proud of my younger self for being able to have written a song like this all those years ago. Nice one, Jimmy, whoever you are.
Smile. notice you.
You just left your home.
Nobody looks at you.
Tracks 8 and 9 are The Boy in the Suitcase and its Barbershop Introduction. I recorded a heap of songs for this project and most of them turned out well, but a few had to be re-recorded several times until I came closer to capturing the energy and feel of the original 4-track cassette version. The inexperienced experimentalism of my 20s occasionally captured a spark that wasn't easy to reproduce for this project. About 12 years ago, I tried recording this song a second time and it was terrible. But I'd added the new Barbershop a cappella intro, and I quite liked that bit. So third time's a charm, and I finally got it right, 18 effing years later. Unfortunately, there have been a few actual bodies found in suitcases, and it's a horrific concept in the real world. Before I'd heard of any actual crimes of that nature, though, I wrote this silly song. In my late teens and early 20s, I watched heaps of 1970s Italian horror movies. Dario Argento, Mario Bava, Sergio Martino. Anything with Edwidge Fennick in it is a definite winner, and this dark cinematic world is likely an influence on this song, and very much so on the recent video I made for it, which you can find on YouTube. It's also fascinating to write from the perspective of the murder victim. It lets you build a story around a grim and impossible character. Not that I'm ever actually conscious about what I'm doing when I write. All this analysis is in hindsight, and I'm trying to avoid saying, "Ooh, wasn't that clever?" It's a lazy musical comparison, but the dominant influence musically would have to be Queens of the Stone Age's Blue and Red albums, and of course, Homer Simpson's barbershop quartet, the B-Sharps.
She's bought herself a claw hammer to knock out all my teeth. My fingertips, my face, my hands have vanished like a thief. So now in pieces in a suitcase, patiently I wait. A shallow grave or dumped at sea, she's yet to choose my fate.
Suitcase, covered in pieces with no face.
Hi, this is the Jimmy C, Jamie Coghill, and you are listening to, and this one's introduced by, on Community Radio Station 3CR. You're listening to me talk about the songs off my latest album, which is called Refreshing. Track 10 is another instrumental and could comfortably sit alongside Sonora Desert Theme on a soundtrack album. If the previous instrumental is The Weary Cowboy's Journey, then this pretentiously Spanish titled El Deserto de los Muertos is surely the post-gunfight, gut-shot anti-hero slowly riding off to die. He's saved the town, the settlers, the damsel, or whatever, and now he's got to move on before his injury starts to show. Cheyenne from Once Upon a Time in the West, basically. I love soundtrack albums. They saved me from grunge in the mid-90s. I was a small-town grunge kid, blinkered against all but rock. Frequent visits to the video store unearthed amazing Italian horror, cheesy vintage sci-fi, and spy thrillers. I was now obsessed with Goblin and composers like John Barry, Ennio Morricone, Roy Budd, and the cooler ends of Mancini and Montenegro's catalogues. So deep was my obsession with the world of soundtrack that my third practice album was an imaginary soundtrack to an imaginary 1968 spy thriller starring an imaginary Michael Caine with 13 different variations on a main melodic theme. That's how obsessed I was. But this obsession helped me many years later when a Swedish guy discovered my music on Bandcamp and introduced me to an ex-stuntman in LA who was making a comedy spoof web series and needed soundtrack music. This chance connection has led to two full soundtrack albums for his web series and connections to other American filmmakers and more soundtrack work, which I really enjoy and feel lucky to have stumbled upon. It's not high-profile stuff, but it's cool to work with people making movies for the love of it. The latest film I did a heap of songs for is called The Curse of the Baby Eater, from the people who brought you Brides of Satan. And it screened recently at a film festival in Austin, Texas, and it should be distributed before the end of 2025. We'll be right back. Track 11, Start All Over, shows signs of a younger songwriter borrowing cliches and pulling unexpectedly complete sounding ideas out of his ass and doing well by accident. Actually, I think that might be my entire career summed up right there and the title of a future autobiography, Doing Well by Accident, The Jimmy C Story. Well, that's how I'd like to think of it anyway. I don't know where creativity comes from, and I'm suffering no illusions that I'm uniquely gifted in any way. I make the music I want to because I enjoy doing it. Perhaps analysis and observation will collapse the superposition and I'll be Schrodinger's useless dead dingus or something. What began as a very rough garage rock song has ended up pretty slick and lush. The doo-wop backing vocals were a last-minute addition. It could have used a wailing guitar solo from a more competent guest shredder, but I was keen to keep this project fully self-sufficient. I play guitar like a drummer, but occasionally I'll surprise myself, doing well by accident, indeed. Playing in a studio is so different to playing live. I honestly don't consider myself an actual guitarist, but I can play things for a recording that might make me sound like a fairly competent player. But out of context of doing several takes and stitching parts together to make a whole, I am completely useless. Playing guitar live is an entirely different discipline that I haven't achieved. Plus, I probably can't play standing up.
How many times now should I cut my heart, lay it at your feet?
Your Corpse as a Bore is track 12. This is the result of an experiment to come up with the most offensive song title I could think of. It was originally Your Corpse is a word beginning with W that is a slur for sex worker. I'm 48 now and I have teenage children and using a word like that just doesn't fit into my world I want to inhabit. So I changed it to Your Corpse as a Bore, which was actually suggested to me many years ago by Paris Wells, who is a gifted singer and whose career I've failed to keep track of. Sorry Paris, but thanks for the improved song title. The song name tells so much of the story. It's pretty dark humour to blame somebody for not being any fun anymore because they're dead. The lyric, "Your cadaver's a drag since you've been in that body bag," is also brand new and replacing other foolish words that I'm not comfortable using anymore. In a way, I've George Lucas'd this song. I've re-evaluated and patched over things I don't like anymore. The whole Refreshing album is a little bit like that in a way, a special edition, but hopefully, unlike George, I've changed things for the better, and not just pasted tacky CGI crap over endearingly rickety old props and costumes. Put the Wolfman back into the cantina, Han shot first, etc. But if any diehard fans of the Jimmy C exist and are offended by my rewriting of history, please go ahead and make despecialized editions. It's certainly the best way to enjoy the Star Wars saga. Stylistically, Your Corpse is a Bore feels influenced by an underground Aussie rock sound. It sounds sort of Beasts of Bourbon and Spencer P. Jones-ish to me. It certainly could use some Spencer P. Jones guitar work too. It has a damaged and weary groove, and I'm glad I managed to capture it all again all these years later.
Just yesterday.
Hi, I'm the Jimmy C, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist introduces the tracks from their album, here on 3CR. Track 13, Sending Home the Dead. I actually remember the actual moment when I actually had the idea for this actual song. I'd just seen The Proposition at the cinema in 2005, and on the drive home, a tune popped into my head. So I quietly strummed and hummed the idea onto my 4-track cassette recorder late at night. I haven't gone back to check, but I don't think it resembles any of the melodies that Misters Cave and Ellis used for the film. It's a cold, bleak, and lonely melody, and a cold, bleak, and lonely story came to mind about a murderer burying his victim in a cemetery that was being relocated to make way for a highway. I imagine the murderer is working with the crew working to relocate the cemetery, helping to dig up the coffins and load them on trucks onto a Creedence Clearwater Revival-style graveyard train. And our protagonist is secretly digging in the dead of night, and he adds one more anonymous box of remains to the graveyard as he contemplates his own mortality. Cheerful shit, but I'm okay with getting dark and moody once in a while. It's probably just lazy cliched storytelling anyway. The original recording was built on half-speed drums, one of the many fun things you used to be able to do with 4-track tape recording. And I played long droning chords on a dodgy old Lincoln Chordmaster, which is an electric reed organ that I got at an op shop and had to hotwire a power cord onto to make it work. It's got a uniquely eerie character, so I dusted it off again for the new recording, plus some melodica for the melody. I used normal drums this time, though, because slowing drums down to half speed digitally sounds absolutely terrible. It's less experimental in some ways, but a more concise and full arrangement. I think it creates a pretty nice mood, and I was able to do heaps more with the vocals this time round.
Yeah.
final track on Refreshing is called All Night Ride, a song that never really progressed beyond an initial sketch of a song, with ad-libbed nonsense lyrics about a female object of desire whose presence brings light and absence brings darkness. And the song title is about making the most of the time we have, not boning. This one almost didn't make the cut. I included a rough demo of this song on my first lo-fi four-track practice album, Project Ego, in 2005. I had tapes and tapes of rough sketches of songs, quickly recorded on the fly to help me remember a good melody or idea or a riff that had popped into my head at some point, which I do now on my phone, which is more convenient but creatively more limiting than the four-track cassette. I filled four tracks with guitar, percussion, and vocals all made up on the spot, and it sounded pretty cool, yet unfinished, so I put it at the end of the album as a bonus track. A couple of years later, I attempted a more concise and thought-out version of the song for my second album, another practice album, and it completely lost all of its charm, no spark, so I wasn't very confident last year when I attempted to re-record it for the third time in 20 years. I tried it with big drums, I tried it with percussion, and it still felt flat and lifeless. I was never going to capture the spontaneity of the original demo, but after a few times, I built a complete and finished, yet different sounding version of the song that I was finally happy with. And like I said, basically nobody has heard these songs in their original recordings, so Refreshing is brand new to all but a few. The past is the past, and creativity is best served without explanation, probably.
Night falls on all she touches. Take me on that ride. Take me on that ride. Light comes whenever she leaves us.
And so this is the Jimmy C, and that was Refreshing, and thank you so much, Dr. Gonzo, for having me on your show. If anyone's interested, I have music on Spotify and all of the streaming platforms. Visit my Bandcamp page, The Jimmy C. Look for me on YouTube. There's plenty of videos and lots of fun things. Refreshing is out through Cheer Squad Records and Tapes, so find it there. It's a digital album, and please stream and enjoy.
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Jamie Coghill from the Jimmy C. Please support Community Radio 3CR. Get involved and find out more on the website at 3cr.org.au.
Thanks to Jamie Coghill for introducing the tracks from the Jimmy C album, a refreshing collection of songs. Please check it out on the Cheer Squad Records and Tapes Bandcamp page. When I met Jamie, we had a great conversation about some of the artists whose music he enjoyed and the artists that inspired him. Let's take a listen to a small selection of tracks, starting with Live Till You Die and Tame the Lion by Emmett Rhodes. 9 to 5 Pollution Blues from the 1970 album Lucky Planet by Neil Innes and The World. And lastly, a song by Todd Rundgren from Hermit of Mick Hollow, Lucky Guy. Thanks for listening. Hope you can join me next time on, and this one's introduced by, with Dr. Gonzo on Community Radio 3CR.
I have to say the things I feel. Oh, I have to feel the things I say. You must live till you die. You must fight to survive. You must live till you die. You must feel to be alive.
Tame the lion, now he's dead. to five, wonder if I'm still alive. I'm completely bored, nationally insured. Life is not so hard when they stamp your card. Nine to five pollution blues, only got my soul to lose. Wish I didn't have to choose.
Thank you. this must be a lucky guy. I wish I was that lucky guy.